Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Movies and Memories with Red and Hannah. And to introduce our movie for the fourth episode, here is Hannah.
Hey, Red.
Hey.
So for episode 4, we decided to do Before Sunset, and we thought it was appropriate since the last episode we did was with her, and the ending of that movie was Twombly and his the friend played by Amy Adams, them watching the sun go down, and we thought that's kind of appropriate, and
Sunset,
we had to get around to it eventually since we started with Before Sunrise. So here we are, and we're doing Before Sunset.
And yeah, finally, after three, after three episodes, and then I think it's a good thing that we do this every three movies, and then eventually, when we get down to midnight, we can move on with the theme. But right now, I think this is a good movie for the fourth one. So hey, thank you. Thanks for making the
Yeah.
time, Hannah. It's been 2 weeks.
I know. Thank you too. It was just hectic, I guess.
Oh yeah, life got in the way. Life got in
Yeah.
the way. So yeah, let's see. What is this movie about, Hannah?
Well, it's the sequel to Before Sunrise, so it's Jesse and Celine. They meet up after 9 years, and this time they're still in Europe. They meet up in Paris.
Accidentally for that.
Well,
Well, not really. Like he wasn't expecting
in
it.
a way, I have no idea. I have some theories, but basically they meet up after 9 years, and so it becomes apparent, since the first movie kind of ended on a cliffhanger, in a way, they just made plans to meet up, right? So apparently they didn't do their 6 month thing, and they get into that in the movie. We'll discuss that later. And this time Jesse has become a writer, and he's on a book tour in Paris. This is his last city before he goes home,
The
before he
last leg
starts
of
in
his
the
tour,
States. And Celine shows up at the reading at Shakespeare and Company, this bookstore in Paris, and they catch up basically after 9 years, and they talk about it's the same style about, it's all like conversation basically and dialogue. The difference though with this one is that it's in real time. So the movie's, I think, like an hour and a half long. It's in real time. Like there's no real breaks. It's unlike Before Sunrise, which took over a course of almost a whole day.
A whole yeah, day and
Yeah, at least like
dawn.
16 hours or so. Yeah. From like the after maybe the morning or afternoon
No,
until
I think it started
right
around
before
lunch.
sunset, around lunch. Okay. Yeah. So that's like 16 hours, I guess.
Because they went to
So
that
this.
part of the train, right, to grab lunch, so
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So almost a day. And this one is actually in 1 hour and a half. They use up the time before he has to catch his flight to walk around Paris a little bit, and they talk and they grab some coffee and they talk about stuff. Basically, what had happened to them in the past 9 years. And yeah, which takes us to our themes. What would you say the themes are?
Okay, so let me just add on or tack
Oh,
on
yeah,
to
go ahead,
the
go ahead.
some parts of what the film is about, because technically this is again 9 years after sunrise, and it's happened in real time too, like in the movie. It's real movie time, like 9 years in their time, 9 years our time too.
Oh,
And
that too.
then
Yeah.
yeah, and I don't know if you're preaching ahead here, but they never really wanted to do a sequel, or they did, but the fans never wanted it, rather. They never wanted a sequel for it. Yeah, in an interview with Ethan Hawke, like they got some backlash because fans didn't want a sequel because they think it ended appropriately. But of course, they didn't know the whole backstory to Richard Linklater, right? And his this whole the whole endeavor of this trilogy. Then it wasn't yet a trilogy, but it was a whole the whole thing about reconnecting with Amy, the girl that inspired the story, the one that he shared a beautiful night with in Philadelphia. And yeah, so I think the whole theme for this would again second chances and reconnections. And I think it's a hard visual look at the realities of love. Like they discuss it eventually, like the real status of their love lives, but from the initial standpoint, like you could see that, yeah, he's married, he sounds happy as a kid, and just looking at them from afar, you kind of form this idea that they're in a good place in their lives, which we later on realize they are. So yeah, it's beautiful. It's reconnection, and the whole passage of time definitely lends a hand into the romanticism of this whole thing, right? Like 9 years, imagine that, and then we have a sequel, and they reconnect again. It's there's something there, some poetry there that's just so undeniable. And you remember that whole transition when the reporter asked him about what his next project was? And the whole time he was just reminiscing about his night because he was there discussing his book this time. And oh yeah, so the book that he's talking about there was this time. So he's been going around, as he said, it's the last leg of his European tour, his re European book reading. And when he was asked what this next project was, when he said, I love that part when he said about he wanted to write a story that took place within the space of a pop song. And then during the whole, while he was explaining that, all he could picture out was Jesse, or Celine rather. And just like that, in the next transition, Jesse's just, or Celine's right there looking at him, and the look of shock on his face was, I don't know, it was just beautiful. I like that. I like that transition. So yeah, so themes again, reconnection.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, there's communication, reconnecting. Also, what they talk about is like miscommunication. And I think it's explored also how the perception is. You think from outside your life is like this. You assume Jesse's married and with a
And
kid, he
happy.
must be so happy, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is
Successful.
far from it. He's actually like super depressed, but he just has to go with it. And they have kind of biased memories, or they have like selective memories about that night. Celine supposedly, forgets about certain
But
elements of that night,
as she said,
but she
girls do
really
that
did
though.
remember it. She really did remember.
Girls do it though, she said, right? Like, yeah, they pretend that things never happen, but you know.
I'd say
Is
that's
she?
probably
Yeah.
true, especially if you don't, your association with the memories is that bad, you try to repress it, because you don't want to think about it. I totally get that for
I think their
sure.
recollection was good. They just have a little hang-ups, right, with how it ended and the things that could have been but never was because they were stupid. They could have exchanged numbers. But again, they brought up beautiful points there that if they, do you think that if they actually did exchange numbers, do you think it would have fizzled out?
Yeah, but high chance actually.
Right. It's
High
more
chance it
realistic.
would have, the like timeline wise, it would have. There is a point that they had a point when they said they didn't want to do that when they were younger. Now, 9 years later, they're like, that's so stupid. But hindsight is 2020.
Exactly.
So I think time, like if they really did and they tried to, it would have faded. They would have to, she would, for Celine, knowing her like personality and attitude, that she is kind of like a liberal. She said she
She
doesn't like, she, like a typical like feminist right now, and she would be forced to, they, one of them would be forced to, like, I totally get this, one of them be forced to move if they really want to be together, right? And then it's a test, oh, do you really love me or not? And then it's a whole bunch of problems,
Yeah,
and they wouldn't be where they are now.
they both have very strong personalities. They would have clashed eventually. Yeah, that one night in Vienna was just, it was a perfect scenario for both of them to fall in love over a night. But after that, I don't know, imagine them growing together, learning together. I think they must have fought, or someone could have turned out different. He never would have published the book. You know, he never would have become successful. So
He
yeah.
might have still become, there's a chance, like obviously you would daydream that they did, he would have moved to Paris or something to be with her, but then there's a high chance that she would just have felt, what's it called, when like the pressure, I guess, the pressure to really commit, 100%, because she wasn't really, I based on what she says, see, about her relationships, it didn't, she would invest but not get it reciprocated. or something. And so I have a feeling like it wouldn't have worked out. So they would have to, it's good that they met at the time that they did.
Yeah.
They met like in their 20s, 20 something. 30, I think, would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think I a lot of my relationships previously probably would have worked out if we had met at a different time.
Yeah.
But if you didn't, then you didn't. That's just life.
Exactly. And yeah, if they stayed together, I honestly believe there wouldn't have been a this time novel. Because they'd be busy fucking or doing something or being in love. And yeah, you need some sort of heartache to level up, to be compassionate, to be passionate about what you want. I don't, yeah, there's no better muse than heartache. So, you know. And all right. So where were you when you first saw the film?
I probably watched it right after watching Before Sunrise.
Okay.
So it would still have been like college.
College, okay. Mm-hmm. Did it latch on to you then, or?
Yeah, this is my favorite of the three, of the three movies. I think just because they had matured, and they've experienced more things, I guess, and they weren't as idealistic. Because looking back, I kind of cringe at how idealistic I was when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Even though I watched it at the age that they were in Before Sunrise, watching Before Sunset, I was like, I hope I kind of grow into that sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think I did like mentally age faster.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I was very idealistic for too long because I realized how unrealistic a lot of the things were that I thought of. You know,
when they were like younger,
impractical,
yeah,
impractical things, not thinking about, you know, like I don't know, it's like a very typical college thing. Like, that's why you're very, like, you're super into activism and stuff, usually, like in college. I know a lot of people get into that, but then if you try to live like that until you're older, it doesn't really work out. You have to really be like invested 100%.
For some people, it does, because they're just ingrained with that passion or that fire.
Yeah, it does. If it's great, if it does.
Yeah.
But I know for sure it won't. Like, there's a lot you'll have to sacrifice to be able to really commit to that.
Yeah, like most things, like most passions, right?
And it does become impractical.
Mm-hmm.
And I know more people who regret it more than they are like, oh, I don't have, I wish I hadn't done anything.
If anything, so it's more
I was probably more like, oh, okay, if you say that I can't really live like that, then of all people, I probably won't. So I just didn't.
Yeah, if anything, it's more like a self, it requires a sort of selfless kind of love, like to be passionate with other things aside from yourself, outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I totally respect people who are very passionate about their advocacies. So yeah, like Celine, like I probably know at least 5 people who are like little Celines. But yeah, it's a hard balance. It's a hard game of balance, right? It's a balancing act. So yeah, so you saw it in college. I saw it in high school. It's the first film of the whole trilogy that I first saw, because I have my sister Valerie. She had this boyfriend before, Anthony. I remember this guy because to woo the family, what he'd do is he'd drop by every Saturday and he'd drop off movies. This was the time.
Oh, this is the same guy with all the movies.
I think so.
No, you always mentioned that there's someone who drops by movies, and that's how you guys have stacks and stacks of movies.
I might it's my sister's ex boyfriend. Yeah, this is that guy. This is one guy. Yeah, Anthony, I think was his name. I believe. Anyway, so he'd drop off movies, VCDs every Saturdays. And some of my favorite films actually derived from that little stack of movies that they dropped off. Like if you've seen, I don't know, these were 90s movies, like early 2000s, Blast from the Past, Brendan Fraser, Alicia Silverstone, I think. Yeah, one of the movies, it was one of those. And definitely somewhere in the lower rung of the stack was Before Sunset. I'm like, oh, okay, the girl's pretty. But I watched it. It didn't make sense to me at all. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? I was young. I was a virgin. Like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know the whole concept of love and what it is. So, like, what are these people talking about? And yeah, so I saw it when I was young. And then I saw Sunrise, and it kind of makes sense. I think you have to watch it in order for it all to make
That's when you
sense.
realize I think it for context,
Oh,
having
you
seen
definitely need
Before
context.
Sunrise would make sense. But I think standalone Before Sunset would work because you would just assume, but it wouldn't have as much of an impact
There'll
if
be
you
a lot of
didn't
guesswork.
see. Yeah. So I think you watching it, you could get the gist that they
You'd have to
hadn't seen
world
each
build
other.
though.
Yeah. You'd be like have to really think about it really hard. It was just easier. Just watch the first movie too.
But
Then it makes sense.
if anything out of the whole trilogy, I think this is easily the most rewatchable. Try playing it on loop. Just constant loop on VLC. Try playing it. It doesn't get tiring for some reason. I don't know. Maybe
Maybe for
because
you, I'll probably get really annoyed after a while.
I saw it 3 times straight. I was playing video games, to be honest. So I was just playing in the
So you weren't
background.
concentrating on it.
For the first part, I was. The second time, I kind of was while playing some Sims.
But yeah,
So,
for me, it is my favorite. So it's probably the only one I would go back to if I had to only pick one to watch from the three. It would always be this one for sure. It's my favorite.
There's something about the dialogue and the minimalism of how everything was. There's like what, 8 scenes in total? Yeah, the one in the library, the one of them walking down the streets of Paris, the cafe, the park, the boat, the car, and the apartment. Seven. It's like 7 scenes in total.
Yeah,
So yeah.
seven like locations
Seven locations.
from like just walking.
That's
Yeah,
right.
I liked it because for the conversation part, they were less idealistic and they reflected on their younger selves.
That's right.
And so I felt like in a way it was more honest. Not that they weren't honest in the first one, they were sincere for sure, but I think they had like realized they had grown up a bit
Yeah. They're a
and
little too
dealt with
idealistic
life.
for
Yeah,
their own good,
they
yeah.
just like dealt with life as they needed to and saw fit, and I totally got that.
And yeah, this is just a perfect movie, the perfect trilogy for someone to grow old with, like mature with. Because right now, at this point in my life, I can swear that I relate to this movie the most. Or
Me too.
right?
Agreed, yeah. But why for you?
Don't know, because there are some lines that just really stick with you though, like that one line where on the boat, Celine says, when you're young, you think like you could meet so many people that you could fall in love with, but then later on you realize it only happens once or twice. So yeah, it's true. I mean, yeah, I surely have fallen in love before, and it was so much easier to attach to someone then. But right now, 31, I'm like, yeah, no. If anything, you're jaded at this time of your life, right? I don't know. I don't know, but still
No,
hopeful.
I get what you mean.
Yeah.
But
It's
yeah,
a
like
How
I
about
was
for
gonna
you?
save this. I was gonna save this for my favorite scene, but one of my favorite quotes is by Celine also. Memories are wonderful things if you don't have to deal with the past. And that hurt me so much.
Jesse's reply there is a life's hard. It's supposed to be. If we didn't suffer, we'd never learn anything.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the most appropriate answer. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Script is
I think for this movie is probably just the one I personally relate to
the
the
most.
most. At least up to probably the point that I met my husband. Like, oh, this
You
is
do know that
heartbreaking.
at the end of this movie they have sex and they get pregnant, right? So does that mean you're gonna get pregnant at some point in the near future?
I'm surprised, like honestly, this is like probably TMI for a podcast, but I'm just honestly surprised that I haven't gotten pregnant yet.
Hey,
No,
okay, let's stop
that's what I tell everybody.
there.
Everyone's like, oh, aren't you like concerned about having kids? I'm surprised that I haven't had any yet. I'm like years young, I'm years older than when my mom had kids, like me. So I'm like, I don't know.
Do you want
But yeah.
kids?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
Of
hey.
course. Yeah, totally. Do you?
I love my niece. I love my nieces. I have.
She's adorable.
She's adorable. I have a new one in the Philippines with my sister Valerie. And just before we started recording this podcast, my cousin actually texted me that, yeah, my cousin in Toronto, they just gave birth to their new daughter. So yeah, we're breeding women.
A lot of girls.
A lot of girls. We can't breed men for some reason.
Do you have brothers?
I have a brother here.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do. You have a brother.
Did you notice that? Like, a lot of our friends, they just give birth to girls for some reason. Do you know anyone with boys?
Who else?
Yeah.
With sons?
Sons. I don't get a lot of friends with sons.
Do you think it's because of the... My sister has at least one son. One son, okay. For sure.
Okay.
Other sorority sister, too. Mm-hmm. My godchildren... I have a godson.
Okay.
For sure. I guess mostly the others are girls, I guess.
Because this is
totally... I don't know. I have no idea. It's like a genetic thing anyway.
Yeah. Or maybe, maybe it's because of all the chicken we eat now. It's just too much. But you know, in the Philippines, there's this policy that they say, like, chicken, these chickens, because they're genetically modified, they inject them with all the stuff.
Yeah.
It lowers your testosterone. That's why we're breeding less men. So
okay, I have an like kind of awful thing about that. My what? Grandpa,
mm-hmm.
my last living grandparent,
mm-hmm.
doesn't let or makes fun rather of anyone who eats chicken in the Philippines, especially. Okay. Like he told my brother, like, you're don't eat chicken or else you're gonna turn into a woman, like. You're gonna get really girly.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And like, or gay.
I don't know how true that
so
is.
So he doesn't eat chicken.
It's a bad thing, but yeah.
He doesn't eat any chicken in the Philippines. So.
Yeah. Could it be? And it also kind
which
of
which I get the like.
It coincides. Logic of it. It coincides with the rise of unlimited chicken wings in the Philippines. Like, you know, all those restaurants. There's a dime a dozen like unlimited chicken wing places. Like for
the buckets, like refill buckets.
No, there are restaurants in the Philippines where it's like a buffet, but it's unlimited chicken wings, so you can eat as much as you want.
I've seen it's a bucket thing though.
Nah, it's a basket.
There's one in Oroquieta where it's like unlimited chicken wings. You just can't take it home. You'll start with like 12, and then I was like, wow, I thought like rice was bad.
Chicken wings,
unlimited rice.
Think about that. Okay, we deviated there again.
We did. Deviated.
So what?
But in connection. Memory?
Yeah, yeah, in connection. With kids, like, you know, because after this movie, like as we learn in the third movie, after their first night together, she gets pregnant. She gets her pregnant right away. Yeah. They actually talk
not
about
wasting
that.
Any time.
No. 9 years. 9 years of clogged up. intimacy and passion in there that one night that she got pregnant with twins. So what particular memory do you have with this film, Hannah? Have we broached all of it? No.
Well, yeah, kind of what I already touched on. I was like, when you like reconsider and regret, you don't want to like regret. Like everyone's like, don't regret. I think you shouldn't regret, but you should like think about it and own up to your decisions.
That's right.
So I've had a relationship kind of in the a little bit parallel, I guess, to what happened to them, and I just had decided that I wanted to leave. I went to the Philippines, but I left, and we always thought we were going to be like together, and then we didn't. Like we grew apart and stuff. I had chances to like meet up and, you know, cause I wanted to see if I really should regret that I didn't pursue it as hard or should I have, and I realized it was like, what's the term for it? Like, it's good that I, stuck with my decision.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And I had no regrets really after that. And you know, like I said, hindsight is 20/20. There's always these what ifs and, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, But I don't know, timing, it's just timing, really.
Yeah, timing's a bitch, right? So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Whew. What about you?
More like in relation to the movie, like,
mm-hmm.
reason attached with it. During my time in Makati, like, you know, when you're 22, 23, and you're still trying to make sense of the world. And during this time, I think I was trying to write. And yeah, what was it? I don't know. I think that was the most romantic period of my life, where I thought, that's why I attached it to these conversations so much. Like that with one line from Celine, like, you think you meet so many people you can fall in love with, but there's only so few. And it's true. Forging a connection with someone takes work and takes time. And it's just, it's when you're younger, like, you put in so much more effort into connecting. But the more you get older, like, you get tired. Like, don't even bother. So, yeah, I just remember the youth and the vitality that I had back then in trying to forge
mm-hmm.
these connections with people. I guess I just miss that portion of my life.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah, you're a little more jaded. You're a little more cynical. But it's also just the rigors of life. You're just, ugh. But still, we're romantics. And we love that shit. What is your favorite scene, Hannah?
I guess my favorite scene is really the last part where she sings her song,
mm-hmm.
where she sings the waltz. It makes me cry every single time, and because it's so obvious who she wrote it for, and
right,
and, yeah, pretty much. That's probably just my favorite scene, and I think that's when I'm pretty sure Jesse already decided that
he was gonna stay.
He'll be like way before. He's like, I way never before that. His flight. So he was just like dragging it out. I just feel bad for the driver. Because I think he's like,
what's his name? Philippe?
Supposed to do, yeah. I'm supposed to like just bring you, and I don't know what's going on. I might get in trouble for not making his flight, but I feel like that's not a big deal, actually.
Yeah, no.
Missing your flight. Technically, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It was the last. You know, it was the last stop anyway, so mm-hmm. it's kind of up to him what you do right. after that, I guess. Unless it was really just he had to go,
to
his wife, and he wasn't divorced,
no,
yet, right? So he was still married. So I guess just to go back to the wife,
yeah.
Which I do feel really bad for her, though. Like we never meet her, I think.
No.
So.
Whoever never even she named is. Her. Yeah.
I do feel awful for her.
Yeah. And it's an awful sort of symmetry because, you know, in the first film, I think he mentioned that his parents are divorced, or his parents got married because of him. And they stuck around for the welfare of him. And they eventually got divorced, right? And the same thing happened to him. He got the girl pregnant, they got married, and now he's unhappy. So he's just repeating that weird cycle of
it's an awful cycle
of mistakes, regret. But yeah, so that's your favorite scene. It's a beautiful scene,
for sure. It's a really cute song too, and it's funny that it's a waltz.
Yeah.
I thought
the waltz was nice.
Are very is a very Viennese thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually don't know how to dance it. People have tried to teach me, but I don't know how to waltz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There was something else that I wanted to bring up about this.
About that scene?
Oh, there was some stuff about the movie. So this is, I think, the first time, even though Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy wrote...
Mm-hmm.
or were writers for the first movie, they weren't actually credited until this one.
Yeah.
And the dialogue that they helped write, a lot of it was actually what they wanted for the first movie, but it didn't make it in. So that's they put it in this one. Mm-hmm. And I think that this was pretty much how Richard Linklater envisioned his reunion.
Probably.
Yeah, this if it really hadn't worked out the first time or something, then this is how they would have probably met.
Right.
Which it just makes it sad. And there is like a historical thing too. There was a lot of photos about the Notre Dame,
the cathedral.
And a couple weeks ago, it was the anniversary. It was like the third anniversary of that fire that they had. So I thought like our timing was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was like 3 years ago or 2 years ago. Because I was looking at the date and I was searching about like the Notre Dame. I was thinking about the Hunchback, actually. But then I was like, oh, the fire. Yeah, it was that.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that waltz is beautiful. My favorite scene changes. I think earlier today I would have said it was them meeting again after 9 years, like that look in his face. And it being in the library is just fantastic because it's a culmination of who he is. And it's because of their absence, of her absence, his absence in his life, that he got where he is, his success as a writer, him reaching his dream of being that. And he did say he wanted to be a writer in the first part, right? In the first film.
I don't remember him really saying that he wanted to be a writer. I don't remember. I don't recall.
But
I feel like they were both. She was in college.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like following his girlfriend for the ride, and for himself, he wasn't really sure what he was doing. He was still at that stage. That's why he was doing like a Euro trip.
Yeah.
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's just from my memory, I don't think he knew exactly what he wanted to write. And he said that writing that book, what was the title of the book?
This Time.
It took him like a span of a couple years.
5 years.
Yeah. So I would even say, I don't know, how long does it take most people to write a book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, took him a while.
I mean, it must have been hard, yeah.
Yeah, he basically just compacted 9 years worth of memories, or one night, and 9 years of longing into a 5-year process of writing a book. But it made him successful. And I think in the third book, they also discussed that he followed it up, right? He released a sequel. It was a more graphic book. But yeah, so my favorite scene right now would have to be, I don't know, that car ride was very revealing. And it's beautiful how it unfolded, because the first, during the very beginning, like when, not knowing if whether they did catch up or not, just those first few minutes in the library, I don't know, like it was like a surprise to us. It was just, we've yet to see or understand whether they actually did end up together. And until they first started talking again, yeah, it's revealed to us slowly. But yeah, they never met. They didn't meet in six months after the first movie. So yeah, I think that was just beautifully placed. And so that's my favorite scene. I think the intro right now would be the best. I posted it on our Instagram. Like, you know, that weird transition. And just the general framing of Linklater was fantastic. Like, you know, a younger her, and then the next shot of her just standing there in the shelves, and the look of recognition in his face. It was nice. Very nice. So, any observations about the film? And like your research? Like, we've gone through some of them, but do you have any more?
Research-wise, no. What I mentioned was pretty much all that that stuck out to me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's actually pretty much how they had their reunion was always how I thought I'd have my reunion, maybe.
Right.
With my exes. But it hasn't happened. And it's totally fine. I've totally, like, accepted it. And I'm good.
They were actually more gracious than anybody could have ever expected. Like, imagine if you met your ex 9 years later. Like, you know.
No, yeah. Mine would be, like, a total free, like, oh, my God. I'm like, I have no grace.
Poised, most people probably won't even try to talk to their ex.
Are you friends with your exes? Like,
yeah, some of them, yes. Most of them.
I always try to keep like a good relation, at least from me to them. Mm-hmm. As far as I can tell, like, I still want to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't reciprocate, then like, whatever. That's
yeah, whatever. That's right. Just them being bitter, eh? Yeah.
They want to be.
Exactly. Like, hey. There was a time in your life that, you actually spent with them and you liked that person you were when you were with them. So just because you're not together, you're just gonna forget that. I don't agree with
Exactly.
that, man.
It that's my philosophy, I guess, of it. Like, no one knew that me and my last ex-boyfriend were broken up because he was still he I still invited him to my birthday party, and they were just confused, like that his parents were confused, like, why are we going to her birthday? I thought you broke up. And he was like, oh, but she invited me. And then, like, my aunt, my side of the family, and my aunts and my, like, family friends didn't know we had broken up. And then he was like, no, we're already broken up, but, like, we're still having our, like, dinner here.
Little chummies,
Yeah, still chummy. Whenever I go home, or last time I went home, at least, or the last two times, I would at least hit him up, especially, or if I bumped into him, I still would have said hi. Yeah. I don't know if he feels the same way or he's just being nice because he was a really nice guy. But I don't know. I try not to keep it, bad blood or whatever. I don't like that shit.
That's right.
I
Right.
don't think it's healthy.
Never burn bridges. That's my thing. You know, because
Because there's a reason you were with them,
that's right. And
right?
they're the closest link. Some of them provide links to your past, maybe a past that you might want to forget or not, or just reforge, or maybe, yeah. I don't know. Friends.
Yeah.
You know, the least you could be is
We don't
friends.
even have to be chummy, but, like,
That's.
if I saw you in the street, I
Yeah.
wouldn't want you to ignore me. Like, I want to be able to say hi
That's right.
and say hey to your friends or your parents and, nothing
That's right.
weird.
Yeah. Like, I had an ex that was just deathly. I don't know. Like, she wanted me to just block everyone that I used to date or was at some point romantic with. And I think that
Ah,
was just
okay.
psychotic. Yeah, that's just some psycho shit there, man. I don't
That's a
know.
lot.
That's a lot, but.
I know people who do that though. And
Yeah.
that's just not healthy. That's already a red flag for that person though.
Yeah, like I had to stop talking to all of my platonic
She
friends.
forced you.
Not really. I don't know. I think she guilt tripped me into it. It's like kind of. Yeah,
Oh,
no.
he sounds
No, I think
very
she,
insecure.
maybe, or I don't know. Maybe
Yeah.
she just had some weird take on love and whatever. It was almost a selfish kind of love. Like I could only love her. Like, and but the weirdest part was I couldn't even be friends with. I can't even talk to my girlfriends because she said, like, if you needed someone to talk to, why not just talk to me? Why do you have to go to them? I'm like, because there are just some
Okay.
things that I don't know. Yeah, just thank God. Anywho, so that part's done. Oh, okay, so some basic shit from the internet that I found: shooting before sunrise took place. It took 25 days. This was a 15-day process and it was a constant rewriting, revision of the script. And yeah, they just it kind of felt like an example kind of thing, you know? Like yeah, they made the necessary adjustments as they went along. So I think that's why it's such a perfect dialogue film. And they also originally had or planned a bigger budget. They want to go big for this one, right? But they didn't get the necessary funding, so they had to nip it a little bit. They had to tame it. So yeah, that's why it's such a constrained film, perfectly constrained or restrained rather. So yeah, do you have any other observations about the film?
Yeah, well, not the technical aspect, no, but I just saw I had actually had some more notes about this, and I realized just like how relatable they are, and at their point of life, their situations were most relatable. Celine had immersed herself in like activism in her career, and the effect of that one night in Vienna was like, I guess, subconsciously affected her romantically because whoever she had dated later, like, it just didn't work out. It just really did not work out. And then I know people who've done this have like blocked out or just vowed to themselves never to like let themselves be hurt like that or fall in love and all that stuff. And that is so unhealthy, but I do get it. It is that painful. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's just so sad.
It is.
And like, you just never want to be disappointed again.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time, I guess, and it's to deal with it. And then Jesse, on the other hand, like we mentioned before, like, I didn't realize that his parents were, they were in that situation too. They stayed together for the kid.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like that too. So sad. Like in the Philippines, especially, like not saying like anything bad, but there's something, I guess, there culturally that needs to,
they need to
look into.
for our non-Filipino listeners, like the Philippines is one of two countries in, or states in the world that do not have divorce. It's the Philippines and the Vatican.
The Vatican. They only have annulment, which is so ridiculous to get. You basically have to convince the judge that one of the spouses is
psychologically incapable.
Yeah, exactly. That's the word. So one of you basically has to say or declare that you're crazy. And that's maybe the only way they'll approve it. It's awful.
Yeah.
And
it costs a lot of money.
I wish no one would ever have to get divorced, because I think marriage is something that you go into it with a whole heart. People do change. I get that. But just like really think about it, especially in the Philippines where there is no annulment. But
no divorce, you mean?
That I wish people wouldn't get divorced, but I do understand that there are instances where it is
absolutely so necessary. Yeah.
Just don't abuse it, obviously. And there's a lot of situations where I wish you would get divorced for some people. And then the aspect of getting married for a kid, it's not the kid's fault. I get it, but I personally just find it really unhealthy to get married for the sake of a child. And what I don't like, I don't know if you can humor me, but the reason people have told me, like in the Philippines, the reason they have to marry the mom.
Mm-hmm. For shame, for honor.
Yeah.
For serving honor. It's
because they want their kid to have their last name. Or so that the kid has a father, which I don't understand, because you obviously are a father.
Yeah.
Why do you have to get married then for it? And a lot of the times they don't love the woman. Mm. It was just like a one-night stand type of deal, or it wasn't something serious and she just got pregnant in the process. Yeah. And the reasoning has been, and I've heard this over and over again, is that the kid won't have a father. Like, is that a legal thing? Is it like on paper? Is that what they mean?
No. It's just for honor's sake. Like, you know, they don't want to bring shame to the family and all that backward shit that I don't know.
Okay. Because I know the kids of my friends who didn't get married, they honored the request to have the father's last name, and she had no problem with it. I was like, that makes sense.
Totally. It's mostly for heirs, right? For the dissemination of the disease, like properties eventually. So if you have the same last name, you can establish that relationship, and you have the last name, so you can get like.
But you don't have to be inheritances. Married.
No.
Yeah, so that makes no sense.
Wait,
do you have to get married?
No, I think you have to get married. Let me try to remember. It's been 4 years since law school. but you have to establish that. That's a father. And, you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to.
Okay, see, if that's the case.
Yeah, just the birth certificate.
That doesn't make any sense.
No. Yeah, just the birth certificate.
Does it matter that you're not married?
It doesn't matter if you're married or not. You just have to write the father's name. And
okay, so that makes no sense also.
Yeah,
so again, why would they have to be married?
It's just shame, and Filipinos don't like that concept of being shamed. Like, she got pregnant. Yeah, she got pregnant out of wedlock. So,
out of wedlock. That's the...
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's the a word. Poisoning term.
Yeah.
That's God. Unfortunate.
It's almost idiotic, but, you know. No divorce, though. That's crazy. Makes it harder.
I know. I feel so awful.
I can name at least 5 friends who got married and or who are in unhappy marriages, and they stuck around for the kids, but they cheat on the side. Like, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. I just feel like it just invites way more problems.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for that aspect, and then not being able to get divorced.
Yeah.
I don't know. I heard that they were trying to, like,
bring it in. There's a divorce bill, I think, that's been in place for...
I heard about that.
Yeah. But the church's influence is still huge in the Philippines, you know.
Yeah.
And the daily running of the government, so, yeah.
It's so awful, but that is the main reason I decided not to get married in the Philippines.
Oh, well, smart. Smart.
Although, I don't want to ever have to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
But if it ever came down to it. Also, there was way too much paperwork. That was like the other thing. I was like, well, if not being able to get divorced wasn't the biggest deal breaker for me, it was the paperwork.
Paperwork, yeah. You have to get this thing called the CENOMAR, which is a certificate of no marriage.
That is so ridiculous.
And that shit, yeah. Like in the States, you just have to go to Vegas and just sign documents. You're married.
No, we didn't even go to Vegas. We just went to the county clerk.
Yeah, there you go. And you guys are married.
She literally asked us if we are aware.
Mm-hmm.
Do you swear you are not related to your knowledge? And mm-hmm. we're like, yeah, of course not.
Yeah.
That was like the main thing. That we had never, ever, ever been married before in any country. You are not legally married anywhere in the world. Yeah. And well, yeah, that was it.
That was it.
And so she was the same lady who married us too. That was funny.
That's good. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, on the somehow connected tangent. I'm thinking of becoming a wedding officiant, a wedding minister.
Are
you ordained?
I am ordained.
Oh, cool.
I keep getting emails.
Seriously.
If I pay the thing, I get my certificate.
Damn, because this Saturday we're shooting material for my brother's business, and we're going to start offering the complete package. So photography, videography, live streaming, and ministerial services. So yeah, I'm going to get my license at some point in the next month. Yeah, what did you do? Was it hard? Was it easy?
It was online. Okay. I don't think it's like, you know, there was no seminar or anything. If you sincerely want to do it, I would... do the whole like priest
stuff, you're ordained.
yeah
that'd be fun.
I mean, if you are traditional, eventually I'll have like an actual wedding.
Mm-hmm.
my husband really wants to go to the Philippines to get lechon. He was really disappointed that we had just like a dinner here, but mm-hmm. my family in the Philippines had lechon and we weren't even there.
Mm-hmm. they had lechon for you guys.
The lechon in honor of us getting married, but it wasn't for us.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so they had an excuse to invite neighbors to eat lechon. They celebrated for 2 days.
Of course, Filipinos. It's lovely.
I do so like that.
So again, totally different tangent, but let's wrap. We're almost at the end, Hannah. One more observation from my end, though.
Okay.
I learned this on the internet, on Reddit. Like, the poet in Sunrise. You remember the poet, the street poet?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Milkshakes and whatever. The poet in Sunrise had a line in his poem that went, "We have no idea where we're going." In Sunset, Nina Simone? Yeah, the singer that she played on there.
Mm-hmm.
She actually had this line that Celine sang. She said, "I know where I'm going." It's kind of a weird, it's kind of a cool connection there. It's beautiful. And oh, another thing that I noticed during my rewatch the other day, that you remember when he was flipping through her bookshelf and looking at the baby pictures and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a newspaper clipping of a review of Jesse's book this time. It was stacked onto her little pegboard. So yeah.
Oh yeah, because she knew that he was,
and he coming. Was coming.
She at least That's had right. like a month prep.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I don't know, I can't imagine how it would have been like anticipating.
That's right. She went through all that effort.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Just didn't show up.
She had a song.
I would have just been like paranoid that something got canceled that's and he right. wouldn't even show up. That would be so disappointing. But that's how I think.
But she easily could have looked him up at that point. Like, you know, just email him. It's we have the internet in 2004. If he did
look him up, I don't know.
His schedules. Or he could just
go on the internet, not that big of a thing yet.
2004, because I started Friendster in 2005. So it might have been. At least Yahoo had Yahoo Mail. So yeah. Maybe.
There would have at least been a way to get his contact info, for sure. She'd know his last name.
Yeah. I think that's a little loophole that a good thing we missed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it adds more dramatic effect, too.
Mm, it's more romantic that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and another thing was that, okay, it was in the span of 15 days. They wanted to make sure that it flowed correctly. Like there was sense to the flow of the film with the lighting and all that stuff. It's a little technical. But they shot mid-afternoon at that particular day, and they have, what, 2-3 hours at the most? 3 hours of consistent sunlight that was like that. So shooting basically ran for 2 to 3 hours a day, and then they dressed and they just enjoy Paris, and the next day they'd start shooting again around the same time that they stopped. Like, you know, it's beautiful. It's consistency yeah. with the lighting.
I'm lighting pretty sure it took place in the summer as well.
Summer, yeah. So a lot more sunlight. Yeah.
So because I remember he needed to leave by like 7:30.
Mm.
And the appointment or the schedule for his book thing, it said like 5 or 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good 2 hours, and it's like yeah. the golden hour. So that's golden when hour. The mood of the tone of the whole film is pretty accurate for like European summers.
Yeah, and
I remember the sun would set really, really late back then.
Oh, did it?
I mean, sometimes not till like 8.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Like right now, even? Sunset here right now is 10 o'clock, 9:30.
10 p.m.?
10 p.m. Summer. I think right now our sunset is at 8:30.
Yeah, ours is already set. I don't know when it is. I forget what time of year it doesn't set.
Like
so
days
early.
Are longer, you know, nights
yeah,
are shorter.
And the sunrise is late here.
Yeah.
Like, I was so used to the sun being out by, like, 6.
6.
Here, it's, like, 7. It'll wait. Yeah. But it gets... That's what threw me off when I first moved to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
That the sun sets so early.
Yeah.
And I hated, like, the darkness. Like, winter time for me was always, like...
Dark.
Winter gloomy. Is, like, a general, like, gloomy time mentally because of the lack of sunlight.
That's right.
Like, 4, it'd be dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it always was like a sad, you're just like in a sad filter for the whole season.
There's seasonal depression, as they say. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge thing.
One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the man and woman that they talked to in the courtyard at her apartment? Oh, they were having
her,
that barbecue.
Like, neighbors?
Her neighbors. Yeah, yeah. Those were Julie Delpy's real life parents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Albert Delpy and Marie Pillay.
That's so cute.
So cute. Oh, okay. So we are nearing the end again, Hannah. So, okay. Any similar recommendations that you think our listeners who are still with us at this point, all 24 of you, what movies would you recommend them?
I thought of Serendipity.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
I believe so. Yeah, I think so. Paul Rudd.
This is John Cusack.
John Cusack, yeah.
And Kate Beckinsale.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that. And then the series called The Affair.
The Affair, okay.
Which is really moody. But definitely Serendipity and The Affair is what I really thought of when I saw this. Like if I was going to recommend anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mine would be... In a way, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, because it's just two people who, with the aid of science, try to forget each other, but but they still found their way towards each other. Like, you know, it's just some loves are just inseparable. There's just nothing God or science can do to separate them. They just keep coming back, like Jesse and Celine. And another one would have to be, I think Chef is a good movie where they reconnect. Like, you know, okay. Sofia Vergara and what's his name? Jon Favreau?
Happy. They,
yeah, Happy. Because they got back together at the end of the film. Okay. They just need, and they say, you know, well, they're separated, but they do have a kid. So, you know, kind of similar themes there. They reconnected with food, which makes it a better movie. I'm kidding. We're going to do Chef at some point. It's such a beautiful movie.
Yeah, we should. We should.
Yeah. And lastly, we are at the end of episode 4. Hannah, do you have any final thoughts about the movie?
Not really. I mean, I think I said pretty much everything.
You covered
most. I think if I had to say it in like just one phrase, it would just be like hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's my final thing. It's a beautiful movie. It's a beautiful movie. It's one of my favorites for sure. Yeah, I don't really have any extra thoughts on it.
Mine would have to be, I used to write all this stuff down, but I'm just going to keep winging it now. Like, it's just coming straight from the heart. Like, you know, boom. Anyway, just be more forgiving of yourselves. Like Jesse and his unnamed wife. If only they've forgiven each other and themselves enough to realize that they're not meant to be for each other. They could have lived vastly different lives. They wouldn't be as hateful towards each other. Like in the third film, it's discussed there that they have kind of an aggravated relationship. Like, you know, the kid's mom. I'm not and surprised. Jesse. Yeah. Imagine coming from a broken family like that. It must be tough. Yeah. Especially that here he cheated. Like, we could paint Jesse as the bad guy because he cheated on her with the love of his life. But who are we to blame him? Or can we? I'm not sure.
Because we know the context.
That's right. We have.
That's what I'm saying. I do feel really awful for her. It's a bad position, and like no one really wins.
Yeah.
I guess it's a he versus her type of thing.
For the sake of the story,
but yes. I do like, I guess, in a way, also better late than never. And it's awful term to use for on a person, but collateral damage, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just like the inevitable, but I had a friend who brought up this thing called sunken cost fallacy.
What's
where
that?
It's when you invest. Oh, it's when you like. Okay, well, let me find the term, the actual definition. Sunken cost fallacy.
Uh-huh.
It's when individuals commit the sunk cost fallacy when they continue a behavior or endeavor as a result of previously invested resources, time, money, or effort.
Uh-huh.
So it's like people who stay with someone, and no matter how many years they've been together, and because you think, oh, it's such a waste, it's so sayang that you break up with them. Why would you? You put such an investment in them. And I think it's always know to like when to accept that it's the end, that it's That's expired. Right. It's not worth hanging on to, you know, like a leech. Right. You're not getting anything out of it anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what's so hard. And if you like hold on to that kind of bitterness, it's no good.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope they eventually forgive each other.
Mm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It cannot, Jesse might be like the one to blame to a certain point, you know. But if she holds on to that, she doesn't have to accept, I think, that, you know, she just wasn't the one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
But yeah.
I think it's sad too.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, those are some great thoughts, Anna. So thank you
on such a sad note.
Yeah. All right, so it's a great movie. Like, everyone should see it. It's a nice film. And yeah, definitely one of my favorites. So we are at the end of episode 4. Wait up for next few episodes, and I will be recording a few more in the next week or so. And yeah, watch out for daily updates. Thank you for tuning in. And as usual, this is Red and Hannah for Movies and Memories. Bye, Hannah.
Bye, Red.
Okay, bye.